We're going to read tonight from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel in the chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the Lord is here addressing his disciples. It is approaching the time when he will go to the cross, and these words are addressed to the disciples by way of preparation to prepare them and to comfort them for what lies ahead of them. John chapter 15, and we will begin to read at verse 17. John 15 and verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. And we'll end our reading at the end of that chapter, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth was full of miracles. His birth was a miracle. He was born without sin. He had a perfect humanity joined to his deity. He is both God and man. And his childhood remains largely hidden from our view. But we do learn a little in the scriptures of the Saviour as he grew up. And his was a perfect childhood that perfectly demonstrated duty and love in the home. And then, as a man, his ministry was marked by a declaring of the truth of God, a revealing of his own great work in becoming that sacrificial Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And he lived the only sinlessly perfect life upon this earth. He never sinned. He never said anything that was untrue. He always kept the commandments of God. He was perfect in every part of his being. And it would be natural to think that such a life would be respected and valued. It would seem obvious that such a life would cause people to realize who he was by the way he lived and that they would follow him. But for many, that was not so. The life of the only man who never sinned upon this earth was a life of rejection and a life of sorrow. He was despised. His claim to be the Son of God was refused. Many viewed him with bitterness and with anger. In John chapter 15, the Lord here speaks of his love for his disciples. In verse 9, he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And then he says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And as he continues teaching and guiding his disciples, he emphasizes that they must love one another, because not all people will love them. They will be hated. His people will be hated, just as he was hated. Verse 17, he says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." And as the Lord carries on teaching in this manner, he continues to make a most striking statement in verse 25. There, as he quotes from the Old Testament, he says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. It seems almost impossible. How could anyone hate the Lord Jesus Christ? The perfect Son of God, the one who in his great love came into the world to die so that sinners could be forgiven. How could any hate him? And hate him without a cause, hate him without justification, without reason. And yet such is the sinful heart of man that this is man's natural state. This is where every man is naturally born into the world, hating God and hating his Son. And so it may be that even there's one here, and tonight you hate this Saviour. Tonight you hate Jesus Christ, and you hate him without a cause. We'd like this evening to think about that theme, hating Christ without a cause. Hating Christ without a cause. And we can notice about it, first of all, the description provided. The description provided in these verses, the Lord describes what hating him without a cause means in a life. It means persecution of the Saviour. It means persecution. Verse 20, the Lord says, "Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The Lord says, "If they have persecuted me." And of course, he was meaning by that they had persecuted him. And he's referring primarily here to the Jewish religious leaders and those who followed them. And these people, they persecuted the Saviour. It has the idea of pursuing after him. They so hated the Saviour that they followed his path. They didn't want him to have freedom to minister. They didn't want him to move among the people from place to place. And so they persecuted him. They sought to make it impossible for him to do the work that he had to do to reach the people that he was to minister to. We can read of one example of this persecution in the Saviour's hometown, in Nazareth. If you turn to Luke chapter 4, we read there in Luke chapter 4 of the Lord coming to the place where he grew up. And this place, Nazareth, it had witnessed his holy and perfect childhood. And the Bible tells us that as the Lord grew up in Nazareth, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man. And what memories there must have been in Nazareth of that holy childhood. They certainly couldn't remember any mistakes or faults or failures that they could hold against him now as an adult man. Now he's back at Nazareth, where he grew up. And he reads the scriptures in the synagogue, and verses 18 and 19 tell us that he reads concerning his work in bringing the gospel to the poor, and healing the brokenhearted, and giving sight to the blind, and liberty to the captive. And he tells them in verse 21 that he is the fulfillment of this scripture. He is the Messiah. And they're amazed at what he said, and at the power of his words. They can't believe it. And they say in verse 22, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Oh, they remembered his childhood, but they didn't see the perfection in it. They just remembered that he came from a poor background. They thought he was just the son of Joseph, and his claim to be the Messiah, it throws them into a rage. Verse 28, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. They persecuted him. They desired his death. They pursued him even out of his own hometown. And the Savior says that it was without a cause. He had come to save. He had come to redeem. But these people, they were so deep down in sin, they so hated the Savior that they persecuted him. And your heart could be the same tonight. Perhaps every time you hear the gospel, there is that antagonism in your heart. Can hardly bear to listen to it. There may even have been those times when you have spoken in opposition to the preaching of the Savior. You would have it stopped if you could. And in your heart, if not in your actions, you persecute the Lord. And he could say of you tonight, you have hated me without a cause. And so in this description we see that this hating the Savior without a cause, it meant persecution. It also meant scrutiny. It meant scrutiny. The Lord says in verse 20 of John 15, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your saying also. He talks about them keeping his saying. He doesn't mean that they followed what he said, but he means that they paid careful attention to what he said. They followed his words very closely. They remembered them because they wanted to catch him out in saying something that was wrong. They tried to ask him difficult questions so that they could trip him up in what he said. They tried to get him to speak against the Roman authority so that they could accuse him to the government. We can notice over in Luke chapter 20 and verse 20 what they did to the Savior in this regard. In Luke 20 and verse 20, it says, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. They sent spies, those who claimed to be just and good people, that they might trick him and get him into trouble with the authorities. And in this case, they questioned him about whether it was right to give tribute to Caesar. Verse 23, we read, but he, that is the Lord, perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And notice the next verse. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. They scrutinized his words, looking for faults. And on this occasion, the power of the Savior's answer silenced them. But they would be back again with more questions and with more accusations. It was hatred of the Savior without a cause. And perhaps tonight that is you. Maybe you scrutinize the Savior's words. Maybe you spend your time searching the Bible for faults. You're looking for the contradictions. Maybe you love to ask believers those difficult questions that they struggle to answer. You do the same with the preacher's words, just as the Savior said would be done to his disciples. You watch closely. You pay careful attention. You're looking for the mistakes, the inconsistencies, the flaws. It all flows from the fact that you have hated him, and without a cause. Hating him without a cause, it meant scrutiny of his words, it meant persecution. But this description also reveals that it came from ignorance. It came from ignorance. Verse 21, the Lord says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The Lord says that these people hate him because they do not know God the Father. And what an amazing statement that is. These people were very religious. They included in their number some of the most devout and religious people of their day. They had the Bible in the form of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament had been so specifically given to them and to their nation that the Saviour describes it as their law in verse 25. When the Lord is quoting from the Old Testament this saying, "They hate it be without a cause," it's a saying that comes from the Psalms. But the Lord says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law." The Old Testament was so much associated with them that the Saviour describes it as their law. And so they knew the Bible. They had the Scriptures. They had a great history of God's dealing with them, and yet they didn't know God. They were in ignorance concerning God, and as a result of that, they hated God's Son. They hated the Saviour of sinners. They hated him, and without a cause. And tonight, if you're rejecting Christ, if you're rejecting the message that you must repent of sin and be saved, if you hate the gospel and by that Christ himself, then it indicates that you are in ignorance concerning God and you're far from him. There are many today who talk about loving God and sharing and showing the love of God and experiencing God's love, and yet they hate the message that the Savior taught. They hate what the Lord Jesus said about the need to be saved, about the need to repent of sin. They hate what the Savior said about those who will perish in hell if their sins are not forgiven. And they hate the Savior who taught all of these things, and they do not know God in spite of what they say. The Savior, he says in verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." And if you hate the Savior and his message tonight, then you have no peace with God and you have no hope for eternity. And so, as we consider hating Christ without a cause, there is this description given. But there's secondly, the consequences explained. The consequences explained. The Savior explains what the consequences are of hating him without a cause. One consequence is that all of the excuses are removed. All excuses are removed. Notice what the Savior says in verse 22. He says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." The Lord, he came and he spoke words of life to these people. He came and he revealed God to them. He preached repentance. He preached faith. And the fact that they rejected him, the fact that they rejected his words, it revealed the awful sin that was within their hearts. The Lord says in verse 22 that if he had not come, they would not have had sin. If he had not come and preached to them. Now, he's not saying that they would not have been sinners. If he had not come and preached to them, that would not make any sense. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. But what the Lord is saying is that if he had not come, they would not have had that specific sin of hating and rejecting him as the promised Messiah. If he had not come, then they would have tried to use that excuse that they had never heard from the Messiah, that he had never appeared to them. It wouldn't have been a genuine excuse, but they would have used it anyway. And so it is tonight. People who have never heard the gospel are still sinners. They sin against God's commandments. They break his law. They sin against the witness of their own conscience, and they face the consequences of that sin. They are without excuse, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. But they have not had the great privilege of hearing the gospel. But those who have had that privilege of hearing the gospel and of hearing of Christ, they have a far greater responsibility. And the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ is a far greater sin than any man ever commits in heathen darkness. For it's a sin against the preaching of truth. It's a sin against the opportunity to be saved. And all of the excuses of these people here that they thought they might have offered, they're all taken away now. Their sin is fully exposed. The Lord says in verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The Lord speaks of his mighty works which these people saw. And what a witness is the Savior's life. The witness of his mighty miracles, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the dead living. All of these things that proved that he was the Messiah of God. And yet the people who witnessed those mighty miracles, they hated him. Some of them, many of them. And they hated him without a cause. And tonight you read of his works in the scriptures. And yet you still close your heart to him. But don't think that if you saw him in person and saw his mighty miracles that you would think differently. These people saw the Lord and they saw his miracles. And the Lord says, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Their sin was exposed. They hated him without a cause. There was no excuse for their unbelief. There was no justification for their disobedience. It was the result of sin, the result of rebellion, the result of a deep-seated hatred of the Lord. And tonight, surely, you are without excuse. You have heard of the Savior, perhaps many times. The way of salvation has been explained to you. You've been warned of hell. You have been pointed to heaven. You've been told of the Savior dying on the cross for sin, shedding his blood to make a way of forgiveness. You have heard the truth. You are without excuse. You're like those described here in verse 22, but now they have no cloak for their sin. The excuses have been removed. If you have not yielded your soul to Christ today, it's simply because you have hated him without a cause. And so one consequence of hating him without a cause is that the excuses are removed. But another consequence is that your destiny is determined. Your destiny is determined. The Lord says in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. This hatred of the Lord Jesus had set these people against God the Father. By their hatred they declared themselves to be the enemies of God. And the Lord speaks of them having nothing to cover or excuse their sin. And he shows that their heart is against God. The people in this position, they have no hope for eternity. And this is the point that the Lord preached throughout his earthly ministry. He alone is the way to God. He alone is the way to heaven. And if people rejected him, and if people reject him today, they're rejecting the only way of God's salvation. There's no other way of forgiveness. There's no other means of entry into heaven. In verse 5 of this chapter, the Lord speaks of how those who know and love him must abide in him and draw strength from him. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The Lord says his people must abide in him. But notice what he says in the next verse about those who are not his people and not abiding in him. He says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. The Lord speaks of those who are not in him being cast away and destroyed and burned. And this reminds us that hating Christ without a cause takes a soul to hell. And there is a place called hell. And it is a place of fiery judgment. And it is a place of fierce torment. It is a place of eternal wrath. And all those who hate Christ, and hating him without a cause, will be in that awful place. Yes, there are consequences to hating him without a cause. There's a dreadful destruction awaiting you if you reject him. But these people couldn't see it. They thought that they knew better. They thought that he could be ignored. They thought they could get rid of him, that they could prosper. They thought that they were right and he was wrong. Don't repeat their mistake. The Lord said, they hated me without a cause. And in their hatred, they would eventually be in hell. So we've thought about the description of this hating Christ without a cause and the consequences of it. But thirdly, we have the alternative offered. The alternative offered. As the Lord goes on addressing his disciples in verses 26 and 27, he speaks of how there is an alternative to hating him without a cause. And this alternative, it's presented through the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Lord says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will come. He will come to comfort them. He will come to help them as they seek to live for him and as they face this hatred. And he also says that the Holy Spirit will present him before an unbelieving world. He says, he shall testify of me. And the Holy Spirit has come with the full authority of God the Father and God the Son. And he has come to speak of Christ and of his work. And perhaps tonight he has come to speak to your heart. You have hated Christ without a cause, but the Holy Spirit has come to speak to your soul. John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11, we have that description there of how the Holy Spirit will work in this world. John 16, verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And tonight, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to your heart and telling you of your sin. Tonight, your heart may have been troubled as he has worked within you, and you know that you have sinned against God, and you know that you are guilty before the Lord. The Holy Spirit also speaks of righteousness. He tells you of the perfect holiness of God, and your need to be right before God before you enter into his holy presence in peace. He tells you tonight of your need for a sinless perfection, the sinless perfection of Jesus Christ to be given to your account. Tonight he warns you of judgment. He warns you that there is a day set in the calendar of God for your judgment, a day when you will stand before God, and you will not escape that day, and you will not delay that day. That day is coming, and you are warned of it so that you might prepare. And the Holy Spirit not only does this, but he points you to the Savior, the one that you've hated without a cause, as the only one who can meet your need. The Lord says in John 15, 26, he shall testify of me. And the Holy Spirit reveals the Savior to you tonight in his sinless life and in his atoning death. The Holy Spirit brings you to see the cross, to see the Savior dying there, a sacrifice of blood offered to appease the wrath of God, dying in the sinner's place. He tells you of Christ, the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. He tells you that he is risen from the dead, that he is ready and able to save your soul this very night. He points you to him as your Savior, the one who can change your heart from being filled with hatred of him into love for him. Tonight the Spirit extends the invitation to you to come to the Savior in repentance and in faith, to yield your heart and life and soul and your all to him and to be saved. The alternative, it is presented through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's also presented by the witness of believers. By the witness of believers, verse 27, the Lord says to his disciples, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The disciples had been with the Lord from the start of his earthly ministry, and they could speak from first-hand experience about him. And in a sense, those of us who are saved tonight can do the same. Those of us who are saved, we can tell you with assurance that you are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You are hating him without a cause. We were once in your place, but we can remember that time when God intervened in our lives. We repented of sin. We turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and light and hope and joy came into our lives the day that we met him. We can say tonight, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We can speak of one tonight, one who has taken away our sins. We can tell of one who is our friend, one who is our master, one who is our Lord, one who pleads for us before the throne of God. We can testify tonight that he is faithful, that his promises are sure, that his love is great, that his mercies are new every morning. We can say with the apostle tonight, we love him because he first loved us. And what an awful thought it is that the Lord would look down into this little gathering and say of one here, he or she hated me without a cause. But rather may the thought of your heart be, oh, the wonder that he should love me and give himself for me. It is our privilege tonight as his witnesses, those who have been saved by his grace, to say in the words of Paul the Apostle, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Don't hate him tonight without a cause, but yield your heart to him. Surrender your life to him. Give up your sin in repentance for him. Accept him as Lord and Savior. May it be so for the Savior's name's sake.